Matos, Masei Tavshinaitis. Okay. Really, you think about it, these whole parshas here are like the culmination of everything went through the Midbar, really. Both conceptually and, let's say, historically, sort of. In other words, it tells you all the way places they traveled, right? That's in Masei. In Matos, they talk about, the first thing they talk about is the idea of Nedarim, of a person's word, right? And how this is given over to the Roshei HaMatos. That's the very cool, the leaders of the given tribes. Because, like the Sfas says, they are ones who are meant to be responsible to guide the people, that their speech should be drawn back to what we call to their source. In other words, that a person shouldn't take his speech, frivolously, etc. And it talks about the whole Parsha Nedarim, Hafaras Nedarim, Hataras Nedarim. And so, it really, on the one hand, it's like, the prologue to Sefer Dvarim, and they're entering into Eretz Yisrael. Yeah.
What is speech back to their source?
To source. In other words, to realize when Hashem created, okay, you're right. Okay, when Hashem created man, Tzahakov, Nishmas Chayim, Vayia Adam Lenefesh Chaya, and Hashem breathed life into man, and man became a living spirit. And the Targum says on Nefesh Chaya, L'ruach Memalala, a speaking spirit. Whereas the essence of man is that he has the ability to transform, because that's what speech is. He's able to transform the internal reality, the depth of his internal reality, and to bring it out into the world. Into the world of here and now, the here and now. That's the koach of dibur. That's the greatness of man. In other words, he is not like, let's say, the animals. The animals are not. They don't have that sort of loftiness. The angels, as it were, are. They speak, but they don't transform anything with it. In other words, they live in a pure world, and they are the dibur of Hashem. They are the dibur of Hashem. Right? And they're his shliach. They are his dibur. And the malachim themselves are called yishlach devaro. Right? Hashem sends his dibur. A malach is called a dibur. Because man was made with tzelem elokim, and he was given the koach of dibur. So therefore, that's his greatness. Is that he can speak, just kol v'yochol, as a Kodesh Baruch Hu, when he reveals his will or expresses kol v'yochol his will in a way that it can be perceived on the outside, that's called a malach. When we speak, we're kol v'yochol being b'tzelem elokim, we're being just like kol v'yochol as the Baruch Shalom. So this is an introduction, as it were, into the greatness that they have. Plus, the next stage we're going to read is going to be Dvarim. That'll be the example of Parshas. Eila Dvarim Shedimer Moshe. Next week we're starting Sefer Dvarim. And really they're coming into Eretz Yisrael, which is another topic that's discussed in these Parshas here. The entry into Eretz Yisrael, the borders, where everyone's going to be, etc. How it's going to be divided up. This is going to be the framework within which they're going to transform. They're going to transform the here and now world. Right? But it all starts in Dibur. It's true. If you don't plant and you don't do this and do that, you won't be able to do anything in actuality. But it all starts from the koach of Dibur. So on the one hand, it's a summation. I'm sorry. One hand, it's a summation, which we'll see in a moment, of what transpired in the Midbar. But also, it is where it's laying the groundwork for Sefer Dvarim, and ultimately the entry into Eretz Yisrael. So it starts off with Nedarim. But what I wanted to talk about, maybe today we could learn together a little bit about the relationship between Hashem's Hashgacha and man's free will. And
that's very interesting.
Right? Hashem, I said this is really cool. One of the ikrim. Yeah, no, it's something we should think about all the time. One of the ikrim is that Hashem is yodea. He knows the maisim. One of the 13 principles of faith, right? That Hashem is yodea the maisim. It's the 7th, the 10th, I'm sorry, the 10th Iker.
This is in this week's Parsha?
No, but I think we're good. The examples that we're going to see, I think, in this week's Parsha. He is Yodea, all the Maisim of man. He knows them. What does it mean he knows them? It's not just that he is, again, Hashem doesn't live in time. Right? Time is a creation. When we say that Hashem knows all of our Maisim, it means he knows what we call the past, what we call the present, what we call the future. He knows it all. He knows everything. He knows everything that will be done and everything that happens. Right? It's all in front of him. Because like I said, time is a creation. It's all a form. And yet man has Bechira. And it's one of those things that you can't really understand. Like the Pasuk says in Yishayahu, it's not really possible for a person because we live in time. Right? We don't understand anything that doesn't exist in time and in space. Right? But we can hear that it is that on the one hand that Hashem is your day everything, and yet we have Bechira. Right? We have Bechira, and it is for our Bechira that we're judged. So let's take a look for a second.
Let's say everything is in the hands of God except
Yir Shamayim, right? Which essentially means this is the Bechira, right? Bechira. Okay. So let's take a look here. Well, the top citation here on page 1 is from Parshas Baal Oscha. Back several Parshas in Sefer Bamidbar. So, Api Hashem Yisru, Api Hashem Yachanu, right? Kol Yimei Asher Yishkon Anon Ala Mishkan Yachanu. Another pasuk says, "Shmiras Hashem Shamaru," etc. They watch the watching of Hashem, but it's talking there about the Jewish people traveling through the desert. They travel al pi Hashem, by the word of Hashem, and they encamp by the word of Hashem. Right? And wherever Hashem threw the cloud of glory, the Anan, told them, "This is where you stop. This is where you stop. It was time to travel. This means that you know it's time to travel. It's all pi Hashem. Right? It's all from Hashem." So the Gemara in Shabbos says as follows: there's a machlokus there. Legavi the din of binyan on Shabbos, building. So Rabbi Yossi is the opinion that we know just like this binyan, there's also a malacha called soser, taking something apart. Right? So Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion, soser al menas livnos bimkomo havi soser. If you are take apart something which is built, in order to rebuild something in the same place, that's the Yisr deraisa of soser. However, if you take apart something, and this place, and you're going to rebuild someplace else, that's not the Malacha D'Oraisa. I mean, it's Aser, but not the Malacha D'Oraisa. Why? Because it has to be like the Mishkan, right? It has to be, it has to be like the Mishkan. It has to be, unless you rebuild, right, something in the place that it was standing, so then that place, which had an edifice on it before, it had a building on it before, has now suffered a net loss before it's built up, and now it's destroyed. If you rebuild in the same place, then that's really cool. We're assuming the person's going to do something, whatever, better or more important or whatever it is, but that's not the issue. The issue is that this place is built up. It was built up before. You took it apart in order to build it again over here. Then that's the malacha. But if you build it someplace else, so true, the other place is going to have something on it that it didn't have before, but this place has suffered a net loss. So Gemara asks the question, how can you say that that's the malacha? That it only is considered a positive, a creative, and without any negative attributes to it, of taking apart, of soser. The Mishkan wasn't like that. The Mishkan, whenever they took it apart, they didn't take it apart and rebuild it in the same place. They took it apart and rebuild it someplace else. So it's not like he said, Rabbi Yossi. How could you say that's the Malacha? So yeah, Rabbi Yossi answers, he says, because al pi Hashem Yisro, al pi Hashem Yachanu. That because how does that answer it? In other words, since Hashem says this is where you're supposed to be until now you are supposed to be from this point on, you're supposed to be over here, so there's no reason for the building to be here over here. There's no reason for the building to be over here when you're living al pi Hashem, when Hashem is guiding you, right? Hashem is guiding the Jewish people, he's guiding the Jewish people, he's guiding the Jewish people, he's guiding the Jewish people. So then if he tells you this is where you're supposed to be and not here any longer, right? So then, it's not a destructive act by taking it apart. Because he said there's no purpose in it being here anymore. It should be someplace else. When man builds, so a man doesn't know. Man just uses his own seichel. So therefore, we look at it and say, okay, it's true you built it someplace else, but over here, there's a net loss. But Hashem is directing you. So then, nope. There's no point in it being here any longer. That's considered creative, and it took it apart over here in order to rebuild it someplace else. So now, in our parsha, in Maase, right? Here in Maase, it says, "Eilam Maase bnei Israel asher yotzu mimi'eret Mitzrayim letzivosam biyad Moshe va'Aron." These are the travelings, right, of the Jewish people. They left Mitzrayim.
The Mishkan wasn't taken down on Shabbos.
No, I understand, but it doesn't mean they didn't put it in Chil Shabbos.
Right.
Chil Shabbos. I'm saying what the examples of the Lachos, what they used to do in building the Mishkan, is the source for what we considered non-permissible creative act. Just like the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan, anything associated with the Mishkan is like the ultimate creative act in terms of creating a man-made world that parallels the way Hashem wants the world to appear, like with the Mizbeach, with this, with that, etc., etc., etc. So therefore we learn from there, on Shabbos, these are the creative acts that a person mustn't do on Shabbos. Shabbos is not a day of the creation of the physical world, it's a day of Menucha. So, right. But if it's in our parsha, it tells over these are the travelings the Jewish people left Egypt, right, in the hands of Moshe and Aaron. It says Vayichtov Moshe, and Moshe wrote as Motza Ehem, Ne'elamas Ehem, right, their leavings according to the travelings, or perhaps what that which found them as they traveled, Al Pi Hashem, Ve'elamas Ehem leMotza Ehem. And here is their travelings and their, again, to what they found or what they were leaving from. Etc. But here again, it talks about Al Pi Hashem. In other words, in Parshas Baloscha, it says their travelings Al Pi Hashem, and that was in the beginning. That was before the Chet of the Meraglim. That was the very beginning. That's the third Parsha in Bamidbar. And now, already at the end of Bamidbar, at the very end of Bamidbar, we're talking about once again it's Al Pi Hashem. So now, the Ramban says, what is this Al Pi Hashem referring to? Al Pi Hashem. See the Ramban. It says, "V'michlev ha'masos mitzvah Hashem he." Hashem commanded Moshe to write down the travelings, the journeys of the Jewish people. Minatam em niskarim o mizulosam. Right, maybe for the reasons mentioned, or perhaps for others. Inyan lo nizgala nasodo. Perhaps we don't know the reason why Hashem told him to write it down. Ki al pi Hashem davak im vayichlev Moshe. V'lo kedivrei Reb Avram, even Ezra, she'amar shehu davak im lamaseyim. The Ramban says, you could read this pasuk over your base, you know, in Perek Lamed Gimel. You could read, "Vayichtov Moshe es motzayim lemaseyim al pi Hashem." What's that al pi Hashem referring back to? Is it referring to their travelings were al pi Hashem? Or "Vayichtov al pi Hashem," that Moshe wrote it according to the will of Hashem. Right? No, not just he decided to write down a little bit of history over here, but he did it al-Pi Hashem. So the Ibn Ezra understands that you read the pasuk of Yichto Moshe. Moshe wrote their journeys al-Pi Hashem. Their journeys were al-Pi Hashem, etc. That's why Ibn Ezra understands, and that's the way we understood it to begin with.
The literal sense,
what he called the al-Pi Hashem is referring to their journeys. Their journeys were al-Pi Hashem. In other words, but the Ramban says, but we already know that from Parshas Baloscha that the journey is Al-Pi Hashem. Why do you have to say it again? Yeah. So he says, what he called, therefore he says, Vayichtov, the Al-Pi Hashem is going to Vayichtov, that Moshe wrote according to the word of Hashem. Not that the journeys were all word of Hashem, but the writing of the journeys was all word of Hashem, and the word of Hashem. That's why the Ramban wants to understand it. So that means that the Torah, according to the machlokas here between Ramban and Ibn Ezra, what is the Torah trying to communicate to us in this pasuk? Is it trying to communicate to us something about Hashem's telling Moshe to write it down? That's the way Ramban understands it. That's the crux of the pasuk.
Ramban's right.
That the crux of the pasuk is that Hashem, that the Torah wants to communicate to us that Hashem told Moshe to write it down. It was written down al pi Hashem, right? According to Ibn Ezra, the crux of the pasuk is no, the traveling's wrong, Piyashem. Moshe wrote it down, and he's telling you that the traveling's wrong, Piyashem. The Ramban's got a question, even as to why you have to learn that again. We already knew that the Pasha's Balos, but anyway, that's the machlokes.
Who's Avram,
Ibn Ezra. So two approaches to the pasuk. So let's see. First, yeah, let's take a look. We're going to see a few different derushim here that I think are very fundamental in terms of the way we feel connected to Hashem.
I'm not exactly sure I understand. The Rama holds that just the writing Hashem told Alpi means the writings of Hashem told was Hashem telling the story.
No. Hashem told that Moshe wrote down because of the commandment from Hashem.
Uh-huh.
Right?
And Ibn Ezra
says, the Pasuk is saying that Moshe wrote it down to tell over the Jewish people's travelings according to the will of Hashem. Right? They traveled. What is that Pi Hashem referring to? Their traveling or the commandment to write it down?
What's the difference?
Well, that's a big difference. What do you call it? If I'm telling you, right, if Hashem is telling Moshe, is the Pasuk saying that you should know that Moshe wrote this down because Hashem told him to write it down? He did it out Pi Hashem. Right? And there's the lessons we learned by Hashem telling him to write it down. Okay? That's one thing. Telling him to write it down. There's a lesson to be learned in that. That's what the Pasuk is saying. Mm-hmm. Or that's the Ramban's way of learning it. Even Ezra's way of learning it is the Pasuk is telling us there's something we learn from the way they traveled according to the word of Hashem. Yeah, let's think of an example.
The way of the one's more of a story and the other one's more of a command.
No. The pasuk is saying the same thing. The question is, what is the Al Pi Hashem referring to?
Right.
There's any pasuk in the Torah is teaching us a lesson. Every pasuk in the Torah. Maybe we don't always understand the lessons, but every pasuk, every word, every letter is teaching us a lesson. So the question is, this pasuk happens to contain the phrase in Al Pi Hashem. Al Pi Hashem, by the word of Hashem. So now, what is that the word of Hashem referring to? Is it referring to their travelings according to the word of Hashem? In which case, that we're going to understand now something important about their traveling, right? That's going to teach us a lesson, that because it's Al Pi Hashem, right? And we'll have to see what those lessons are. Or is the importance of Al Pi Hashem is that Hashem told Moshe to write it down. In other words, there was an instruction of Hashem to Moshe to write it down. In other words, it's important. There's a lesson to be learned from the fact that Hashem said to write it down. What is Hashem doing? Hashem must be trying to teach us something by telling us that in recall that he told us to write it down. Mm-hmm. Okay? Fine. Okay. So now let's look at some of the things that we learn from these psukim in the Maaseh. Yeah. I should put whatever. No, not Maaseh. Sure, Matos Maaseh on top. Okay, fine. Rashi Ela Maaseh Lama Nichtavu Hamasos Halol in Rashi. Lohodia chasodov shel mokom. Sha'af al pi shegozer aleihem letaltalon ulaniyam b'midbar. Lo tomar shayunoyim umetultolin mimasa lamasa kol arbayim shonon v'lo haisa menucha. Shenimtze shekol, I left out the middle of Rashi. Shenimtze shekol shmonu shloshim shana lo nosu el esri masos. V'zem yisoru shor Moshe adarshan. Okay, so Rashi says the importance of this, the what he called recounting the masos over here, is that really all these masos really were an onesh. Really, this was on the Eretz Yisrael, right? 38 years, they shot when they go traveling in the desert, right? So it really was an onesh. But you see though. That Hashem in 38 years only took them to 22 places, It wasn't like it was every other day, get up and go, get up and go, get up and go, get up and go. They were in 22 places in 38 years. At 20 places, I'm sorry, 20 places in 38 years. Okay, that's not it's really cool. You know, you can feel like, you know, every day, up and at, you know, that's it. Yep, let's go. So Hashem, in that sense, when you understand that, Hashem is saying, write it down to show how much rachamim I had on them. How much rachamim I have on you. Okay? That's really cool. That's Rashi, and you're right. It sounds a little bit like the Ramban's Perish. It sounds a little bit like the Ramban's Perish. Write it down so that they'll know that they only traveled 20 places in 30 years to show that even when they're getting an Onesh, right? Yeah. Rabbi Tanchuma says, this is also brought down in Rashi, Rabbi Tanchuma says, he says, Dorash bo, drosha cheres, Mashal Melech, Shaya Bno Chole. What's it comparable to a king whose son was ill? V'holicho l'makom rachok l'raposo, and took him to a faraway place to heal him. Kaven Shahayu Chozrim Hisil Aviv Mona Kolamasos Amalo Kan Yashanu Kanu Karnu Kan Chashaftes Roshcha, etc. So according to Rabbi Tanchuma, this is a little bit different. It's not that he's showing, right, how much Rachmanis Hashem showed for us, just how much Rachmanis he showed on us, but also he's saying that it's communicating how Hashem was with us in all that suffering, right? In other words, the son is sick. That's the mashal, the nimshal is the Jewish people. We sinned, right? In order to get well, Hashem had to take us, slap us through the midbar, had to cleanse us. Thing is the midbar. But now when we finish that job, he recounts it not just about in terms of us, he recounts it in terms of him with us. He's with us in our tzara. He's with us in our tzara. Imo anochi betzara. Right? He doesn't say, this is where you were called. Right? I should say, this is where you called. This is what happened to you. Like, I wasn't there. I was there with you. Right? That's the lashon of Rabbi Tanchuma. Right? He recalls that he went with him. Holicho lebakom rochok raposo. He went with him to a distant place to heal him. Kevishayu chozim when they're returning. He's chalavim morikol masos. Amalo kan yoshanenu. Here's where both of us slept together. We were together the whole time. Imo anochi betzara.
Okay.
So that being the case, right? And that, right? That also is. Okay.
That's what we're going to say that Hashem, Hashem is that he commanded to write down. He was commanded to write it.
Commanded to write down, or it could be, the truth is, right, could be also that even in the idea of the Ibn Ezra, that this is Al-Pi Hashem, well, okay, fine. Let's stick with you. Okay. You can also understand that it's telling you that even though we knew in Parshas Bahaloscha that our travels are on Pi Hashem, but you might have thought that Hashem has abandoned us after we sinned, right? Right? He set us on a course. This is what you got to do. I'm going away. I'm leaving you. Right? And that would be the Chiddush. That would be the Chiddush over here. In our Parsha, that not only like in Parsha Balosko, we're starting off fresh, every step is going to be Al-Pi Hashem, you're doing the right thing, but now we mess up. So where are we now? Maybe he abandoned us. He left us. Comes when he calls him in Tanakhuna, he says, no, he didn't leave us, right? He's with us the whole time. Our traveling is now also Al-Pi Hashem. He's also traveling Al-Pi Hashem. Okay? You think after the punishment, Hashem has left us. They abandoned us. I mean, we don't deserve any better. Right? They abandoned us. Comes the Pesukim and says that even when you're traveling for 38 years because of a punishment, right? Do you think Hashem has left you? No, because Hashem is right. Hashem said, write it down. Write it down. What do you call it? Because I want you to know that this is, what do you call it? I was with you there. Why am I writing it down? Well, the Chiddush is I was with you all the time. The Lekut Maharan, Rav Nachman Breslov says, in this idea of Imo Anochi Betzora, he says on the Pasuk in Tillim, he says, Techasreu Ma'ak Mi Elokim, right? Very interesting. Let me just read this for a second. Techasreu Ma'ak Mi Elokim, Bechobad Adot Tatreu, Hini Yadua, Ki Kol Ma Shechose Lo Odom, Hein Baruchni, Hein Begashmi, Achisoron Ubashrina. Whenever we're in pain, whenever we're missing something, in our physical lives, in our spiritual lives, the Shekhinah is in pain with us. Right? Right? And that's what it means, but techasreyu ma'ak me'elokim, kovyochol, it's as though you're causing Hashem to be deficient. When you're in pain, right? When you're in pain, and you feel distant, you feel far away, right? You feel like you're abandoned. But the Pasuk in Tillim tells you, but techasreyu ma'ak me'elokim, you should know, Hashem is suffering with you. And Kilo Hashem is telling you His tzaras. I'm suffering with you. I'm suffering with you. When a person realizes that Hashem Kaviyoch, the Shekhinah is suffering with him, that gives him courage to pick himself up.
It does.
He should. After all, what do you call it? You're not in this alone, right? Hashem is telling you, right, that I'm what do you call it? That I'm deficient with you. I'm deficient with you.
I can say that, you know, like, Hashem, you're in pain, you're all powerful. Do something bad, just don't feel for you.
The idea of the Shekhinah, see, they think of it like this. Hashem in his essence, there's no, he has no deficiency, nothing.
Right.
But the way Hashem presents himself to us, he links his presence to us. That's called the meat of Malchus, that's called Shekhinah.
Okay.
That's called Shekhinah. Okay?
Nevertheless.
Okay, so a person feels. The Seder, there's a reason for it, obviously, but don't think that it's like I'm sitting here. you crumb bum, you deserve this, right? the Moshe David Vali, right, we were learning in Tillim, right? He says on the pasuk there, Laman Beis Hashem Lokino Avaksha Tov Loch. So what he called Avaksha, for the sake of the Baal building Beis Hamikdash Lokino, Avaksha Tov Loch. What's the word Avaksha? I will request good for you. So Rav Moshe David Vali says, Avaksha is a lashon of Avkasha, a hard father. Sometimes I have to be a hard father for you in order to bring you to what you need to do. And when I do that, right, all your suffering, all the suffering that you undergo, you should know, is what he called, creates you a kus, a merit, right? When you undergo that suffering, don't think it's for naught. It is the hard father, right, doing what's best for you in order to bring you something better afterwards. So the avkasha, avaksha, the avkasha, right, is searching for the good for you. So once again, all of the events, all of the travelings of those 38 years are all the Tova saying, all for our benefit. One more thing, and this I think certainly goes down with the Ramban's approach, right? Up until now, really, a lot of it could be said according to Ibn Ezra's approach. In other words, he's telling you how all of our travelings are all pi Hashem, with Hashem, for our benefit, etc. He's with us, he suffers with us, etc., etc., etc. What he called this parish, I think is really going what he called would appear to be very strongly, you know, lean in the direction of the Ramban. Why? He says, "Vayichtov Moshe, Kosov Mokom Shiyotzo Elav Umokom Asher Nosu Mimeno. Ki lefamim haya Mokom Shiyotzo Elav Tachlis Haroa." Sometimes the place that they left, right, the way they went to, was a place that was really junky. Tachlis Haroa. Vamokom Shenosu Mimeno Tov. The place they left was a nice place. Right? A nice place. Right? The farming, sometimes it was cold, sometimes it was really quiet, right? Sometimes it was difficult. Because of Gamkein, Inyan Amasa, Shaila, Tseis, Mimokom, Amokom, Bliak, Domus, Yedia. Plus also, when they were told to leave, it wasn't like they got, you know, you have a day to pack your bags. We're leaving now. That was very difficult. It's true, like Rashi said, they only went 20 places in 38 years. But when you get up in the morning, you don't know if you're going to have to move that day. It's a little unsettling. Unless, record. Shayzeh Koshmur, v'chol zeh lo nimnu. But in spite of that, they didn't refuse. So the writing downs of all of this is to show the credit of the Jewish people. Right? To show how we are a people of belief. We're people of belief. Like it says, right? Ko amar, yeah? Zachati lachesin urayach avas klusayich lechtech acharabah midbar ve'eretz lo zruah. The fact that Hashem always considers it a merit to the Jewish people that they said, enough of this! Why would we get from a good place to a bad place? We got every day we get up, we don't know if we're going to leave or not going to leave. Right? I don't want it anymore. No. Right? I mean, maybe instances, but it wasn't that, certainly wasn't the general. So out of the travels, right, out of the travelings, right, the travelings of the Jewish people, right, of the travelings of the Jewish people, we see that whatever Hashem does is for our benefit. He's avaksha to love. He is the avkasha. Sometimes He brings difficult things on us, but it's always with tov lach. We see that, right, that that even when we receive a punishment, He tries to do it with rachmanis, only 20 places in 38 years. We see that when He recounts it because He was together with us, in what He called in our suffering, iman ochi betzara. We see, right, that we shouldn't think ourselves as chopped liver, because the Maisa, in our blood and in our bones, right, we didn't complain about what He called, I mean, so not consistently. We traveled sometimes from a good place to a bad place, and without any notice, we got up and traveled, and that's to our credit. So it needs to be written down. So all these things, to believe in ourselves, that we have inherent good, and to realize that Hashem is with us under all sorts of circumstances, and even when we're traveling as a result of an onus that we deserve, He's still with us. He hasn't abandoned us. Okay, that's one set of limudi. From Barikov and Parshas Maaseh. Here in Perek Lamed Beis. Right? That's in Matos. So here we have a different lesson. Here's the story of the Bnei Gad and the Bnei Reuven. Right? Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven. In other words, if the first part that we discussed, which was from Maaseh, was how do we when we go through tough times, should we feel Hashem close to us? And the conclusion is yes, definitely. Right? He's being rachim on us. Definitely none of that. He's with us in our own sorrow. Right? And it's not just like we're being punished, we don't gain anything from it. When we're punished, right, that serves us in good stead in the end. In the end, all of the yisurim that we go through, right, are precious. Again, we don't ask for them, but they're precious. Like I tell the story. Tell the story about one of the great rebbes. So he used to go visit. He used to go visit the Hasidim, different places. And he would stay also in one particular wealthy Hasid's house. Mm-hmm. And when the Hasidim come to visit the rebbe, they would come, you know, with the mud on their boots. And they make the entire house filthy. And by the time they left, right, the house looked like, you know, it didn't look so great. And so the Balabayas came to the Rebbe and he says, listen, Rebbe, I think it was what we called the Regina Rebbe, I can't remember. The Regina maybe? Don't remember. He said to him, he says, recall, you know, I love when you come and I love the opportunity to be able to mechaber the Rebbe. He says, but it's such a pain for me. They built up the house. He says, I'll tell you a story. Of course, every good chassid has already got a story in a story. Right? I'll tell you a story. He says once upon a time there was a guy, right? There was four guys, and he couldn't make a parnasa. And they traveled away, you know, to a faraway place, you know, to try and make a parnasa. And there, you know, finally, he's able to make a living, right? He sends he's able to get some money together. He buys himself a horse, a wagon. He's able to buy, you know, some clothing for his wife, some nice things for his children, and he's coming home. And it's a winter day, and he's trotting down the road there with the car. All of a sudden, the wheel hits a rut in the road. Bang, the wheel breaks. The whole thing tips over. He gets knocked into the snow and the what he called the slush. And there he is, lying there, and it's a very unhappy moment, etc. He says, then he's, what are you going to do? Like, he's stuck there. All of a sudden, he hears a what he called clip-clop, 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 clip-clop. He hears some other horses coming. He sees a beautiful carriage. And in this carriage, obviously, a very wealthy man. He's got a driver, et cetera, exquisite carriage, beautiful horses, et cetera. They see him there in the mud. And the wealthy man in the carriage instructs the driver to stop. And you've got to help the man. You've got to help this guy. But the driver can't do it by himself, right? So the wealthy man has to climb out of the, what he called, out of the his carriage. And he with the driver together, they try and ride the, what he called, the wagon, they hitch it to theirs, what he called, and they put this guy inside, and take all, load all the stuff up from his broken wagon, put it into their thing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and off they go, right? They hitch the wagon in there, and what he called, they fix the wheel, and off they go. He comes there to the house of the
woman. What did he say? That the rich guy get out and help them?
He got out and helped him. He said in the mud, the muck, and what he called him, et cetera. And he helped him. And then he gets there, and of course the wealthy man sees his poor family, gives him some stuff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. 120, wealthy man passes away. And he comes upstairs, and they say, you know, you did a lot of good things, right? You did some stucco, this and this, but you were a little of Algaiva, and you lost your temper, and this and that. So we're going to send you for dry cleaning in post-Tostiville first, before you go, ready to go. You know, that's it. We're going to give you a time. And then recall, they say, well, it looks like that's what it looks like going to be, but we'll weigh all your merits. And the merits are weighing down heavily, it's not looking good. All of a sudden, a malach comes along with a big sack, right, and drops it on the side of the merits. That's it. You don't have to go post-toasty milk. What was it? It was full of mud. Full of mud and slush and cold, right? Because he wasn't used to doing any of those things, right? But he, in order to be able to help this guy, he did it, even though it was very unpleasant for him. Not just the mitzvah they did it, but the unpleasantness they experienced. So Rabbi Turner, he says, sometimes mud can be a very precious thing. Right? Mud can be a very precious thing. The Yisurim. So that's what we see over here. We see Hashem doesn't abandon us. And we see, right, even though we never asked for it, but Yisurim can be a very cool, a very precious thing. Sometimes, Avaksha Tov Lach, like Moshe David Mali said, yeah, the Av Kosha sometimes brings us to difficult things, but it's all the tov lach, because in the end that defends us against all the, what do you call, the recriminations and all of the, what do you call, all of the attacks of our adversaries, our physical adversaries and our spiritual adversaries. Okay, so now let's go back up to Matos for a second. This is the story of Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, right? Bnei Gad and Bnei Reuven, they decided they wanted to stay right on the other side of the Jordan. Right. It says Nivne le Mekneinu Po, right? They said, say to Moshe, we're going to build for our cattle here, or we give for our flocks over here, corrals, and we'll also build houses for our wives and children. Chosim ayu al mamonam, they were more concerned with their money, Rashi says, than on their children, their sons and daughters. Shigdimu Mekneim letapom, they spoke about what they're going to do with their flocks before they talk about what they're going to do with their families. Amal and Moshe, lo kein osu. You shouldn't do it like that. Eker, eker. Right? Tuffel, tuffel. You have to remember what's important and what's less important. Menulachem tchila arim atapchem. First, build cities for your children. Achakach, devos atzonchem. Then after, you build corrals for your tzon. Right? In other words, they had a skewed view of the world. Says the Sfas Emes. This is Bamid Medrash. Umikdarav. Gimu matonos, right? There are three matonos, right? That a person can have. Okay? And when they come to him, bekoach, let's talk about wealth here, right? When they come to him, sheboim bekoach haTorah, when they come through the koach haTorah, he matna shmayim, they are a gift from heaven, right?
Wait, there's three matonos.
Right?
And then when you start doing Torah, you get them.
No, I'm saying, the three matonos, one, let's talk about one, wealth. Wealth. Yeah? Wealth. That's what we're talking about over here with Nigel
Hubbard. What about with the Torah?
Well, wait, yeah, really, right? 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 What do you call it? The Bisman Shin Boyin the Koach HaTorah, when the person gets the Matana, the Koach HaTorah, through the Koach of Torah. You'll see in a second what that means. The Koach HaTorah. The Himatna Shamayim, then they're a gift from heaven. But if you chotef it, if you grab it for yourself, then you've lost it. Okay? Says the Fasemis, Af, ki akol me Hashem yizbarach, everything is from Hashem. Mikol makom lufi hayedia shiyodea ha'odam heitev, shekol ha'shalom me Hashem yizbarach, kmochei nizgala etzlo ha'pnimius chiyus me Hashem yizbarach. If a person recognizes that what he has is from Hashem, then, right, if he attributed to Hashem, not attributing to himself, right, so then it's revealed to him, right, the inner source, the connection doesn't detach him from Hashem. The connection to these things, as the word just brings him closer to Hashem. He receives the previous society, he sees the internal reality of it. In the opposite direction, the person tries to grab for himself, right? Shechoshiv kocho v'otam yodo, right? Otam yodi. If he figures, then we go, I did it. I'm smart. I'm clever. I have good connections, etc., etc., etc. Isaiah nistar be'emes koach Hashem yizbarach shetzofun bechol dover. Then what happens is the it's all from Hashem, but that kernel of it being from Hashem becomes more distant, more difficult for him to perceive. It gets covered thicker and thicker with layers. And if I attribute it to being from Hashem, then the layers are peeled away, and I connect Hashem's presence in my having whatever I have. Let's say in this case over here, wealth. But if, however, I think it's because I would call it lucky guy, right place, right time, what do you call it, or, you know, look how clever, look how we call it intelligent, look how savvy, look how this, look how that, look how the next thing. So then it becomes covered more and more with layers, and I don't see Hashem's presence inside of it. In other words, it's mida keneged mida, right? Measure for measure. Measure for measure. So you say, who cares?
That's the year.
Right? Yeah, year. Okay. So you say, who cares? Who cares? So I do see, so I don't see.
But
what's the difference? So look at the next verse, and this is an important thing to feel. The Medrash, Gimel Matanos, right? Bizman Shayim Matanos Shamayim Ruven. So the Sfasim has already taught you that this was meant to be their portion on the other side of the Jordan. Yeah, right. It was meant to be their portion. It's min hashamayim. Avol ha'rotzon shegam os achelek hamuchan la'odam yachotz lekav lo idei haTorah. Right. Let's say, right. You look at two people.
It's meant to be their portion regardless.
It was meant to be their portion.
What their attitude was.
Right. The problem is what he called it, the whole difference is in the attitude. Two people, let's say their mazel, no two people exactly their mazel is the same, but let's say, right? Let's say, you know, for argument's sake. What? No. Right? Two people whose mazel is approximately the same, let's say. This guy's got this, and this guy's got this, right? Basically the same thing. You look at it, they got living in two tract homes right next to each other in the suburbs. The cars look the same, the families look the same, the mortgages look the same, right? Everything looks the same. One guy davens and the other guy doesn't daven. So you'd say, you know, if you want to be totally superficial, this guy's got it without davening. He has extra time to play golf. He can sleep later in the morning. This guy is davening. Meanwhile, he's done no different from the other guy. And we were standing up here, right? Called. Let's say we had the vantage point. We're standing there in Shemayim. We're looking at the mazel, and we're laughing away. Look at this. This guy's mazel is so close to this guy's mazel. It's about the same thing, right? He's got the same thing. This guy's sweating away, davening. Oh, Ishmaeleinu, Hashem Elokeinu, right? Baruch Aleinu, Hashem Elokeinu, the Shana Hazos. And the other guy is what do you call? He's sleeping away. Right? And he sees for an extra hour in the morning. He says, V'zehu, Iker Avodas HaAdam. Kabori is barak bara olam b'teva. Umuchon l'chol echad l'fi mazal. You know, like for instance, the Gemara says, "Bonei chayim ezonei lav v'schus atalia b'mazal atalia." Right? Every soul is created with what it's going to receive. Right? That's the basic groundwork when a person comes into the world. What his nature, what his nurture is going to be. Right? Everything decided, like you said, it's everything except for your shemayim. He's going to be wealthy, he's going to be not wealthy, he's going to be tall, he's going to be very caught, it's all decided. So like I said, you can have two people who look very similar, right? Aval b'nei yisrael tzrichim l'ha'alos ha'kol elav yisbarach l'mala min ha'mazel. When we daven, and we say to her, maybe this is my mazel, but it's all from Hashem. Because Hashem is the one who made the mazel, right? It's all from Hashem, it's really all from Hashem. There is no other source, there's only one source, it's only Hashem. Tzarach shiyeh haratzon lekabel matnas shamayim ubekoach haTorah, and my ratzon is I don't want to receive it part of the natural system that you created. Mazel is part of what we can call it metaphysical, but it's part of the natural world, as it were, right? The metaphysical natural world. That's not a contradiction in terms, right? I don't want it because of that. I want it because it should come from you, the koach haTorah, right? The Torah is the source of the world. The Torah is all names of Hashem. I want it because what we call it, when I'm davening, I'm saying, Rabbon Shalom, I know I require it. I know I've got money in the bank, but I know it's only there because of you. I know it's only there because of you, not because I made a reason. We're not talking about the guy who's davening that's got no money in the bank, right? That we'll talk about. But the guy who's got the money in the bank, it's all from you. At that moment, when he changed, when he says, what do you call it, I know I want it only from you. I don't want it from what you call it, from a natural system that you created. I want it from you. He's transformed that into something eternal. It's no longer just the stage scenery of his life. You know, Hashem creates people and he creates a dynamic stage of all sorts of events, nurture events, natural events. Yeah. That are part of their, what you call, part of their, the stage of their life. All the world's a stage and people upon it players. I want everything that's given to me as part of the stage is to be a function of my avoda. I want it to be mine because it's from the source of all sources, from Hashem and His holy Torah that He looked into to want to create the world. Ba'oz hu davar shel kayama. That's something that lasts forever. That lasts forever. L'chein isa shetzrichim ispal b'chol yom ha'mezonos ha'opi she'en mechus ha'parnasa. That's why a person has to daven for his parnasa, even though he's not parnasa. He's money in the bank. He's going to daven. Because otherwise, all it is just part of the scenery of time. And when he leaves this world, right, on the high side, right, it just disappears because it's part of the scenery that disappears. On the low side, it's considered abuse. It's considered an abuse of the tools that he was given. He's going to be charged for it afterwards. Right? I gave you the tools. If you use it the way I told you to use it, then fine. If you don't use the way you use it, you got to pay. I left the world without paying, so pay afterwards.
Acknowledging is paying for it?
Acknowledging is what he calls it, right? He's transforming it to yours. It becomes yours. L'chein isa shetrichim espalo b'chol yom mezonos ha'fishim in v'chusar kapar parnasa. Ki ikar avodish v'leizu tfila y'ashe ein chatel adam. Right? The Iker Avoda is when you're not missing. Right? Of course, when you daven, if you don't have, then also that works. And that's also a Chiddush in Tefillah. It's also a Chiddush in Tefillah. Tefillah is not just rearranging your priorities, right? And rearranging your outlook on the world. That it's not just from the natural things, it's because it's all from Hashem. But Tefillah also can bring bracha into the world.
So go back. Your ikra avoda is not missing. What does that mean?
In other words, when you're missing, so there's the koach of tefillah. There's the koach of tefillah to even change the mazel. That's what Tosas says. But Bachi also says it. Right. Tefillah is considered schus gadol. So even though bonei chayim mezoni, children, longevity of life, right, mezoni parnasa. Love the schus atalit. You start off with it even before you have schus. That's part of your package when you came into the world. That's your mazel. It's your mazel. But through tefillah you can change it. Right? Through tefillah you can change it. That's on the one hand. But let's say your mazel is good.
Yeah.
So then let's say I'm on vacation. No! Because if you go on vacation, then what you had here is not something that lasts. You can transform all of your olam hazeh. You can transform all of your olam hazeh into something nitzchi. Because you said, I know it's not because from some natural occurrence, as it were, lickety split. It's what you call it, it's caprice. It's just by chance. It's what you call it, it's all from the source of all sources. I wanted to koach haTorah. The last four lines here in the Chazal is that Chachamim kavu yudches brachos al kol tzorach adam. Chazal made 18 brachos on all the needs of man. Sheyivarish hakol mimenu yisbarach. That he should clarify for himself that everything is from Hashem. V'yibakesh shemi'ito yisbarach yovelo ha'ilah advarim shol yitzrochem nifradim chas ha'shom min shor shachayim. And he wants, I want to receive it from the source of all life. And not God forbid cut it off from the source of all life. Right? And just think, you know, that's the way it is. That's luck. V'oz kishim matnas shamayim u'boim b'koach ha'torah. When it becomes a matonim in a shamayim. B'koach ha'torah. The pasuk tells, the end is better than the beginning, because when you transform it, you return it back to its source, right? That I know it's all from Hashem, source of all sources. When I have the koach haTorah, that's better than when you received it in the beginning. When you receive it in the beginning, it's nice. It's very nice. It's very pleasant. It's nice to be comfortable. Right? It's nice to have what you want, not to feel in need, not to feel really cool. You've got deficiencies, etc., etc., etc. But if you don't do anything with it, so your proverbial goose is cooked. I want to receive it through the koach of the Torah, the koach of Hashem's names, the koach of Hashem's will that he wishes to show in the world. So this is also Hagdama, before they enter into Eretz Israel. We saw two different aspects of how we recall, remember to connect to Hashem. This last one over here is when you got Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, we're going to get it. But because they tried to chop it from themselves, they thought, oh, let's be clever now, let's ask for it now, etc. Right? If they saw something cut off, something separate, right, from their connection to Hashem, if they hadn't had that attitude towards it, that's exactly what they would have gotten. But they would have gotten it, what we call B'koach haTorah. Instead of what he called, because that happened to be the mazel, right? That they were destined to be what he called, be in this part of what he called of Eretz Israel, on the other side of the Jordan. And then we saw before, right, from Parshas Maaseh, that even when things are rough, right, Hashem should always spare us. But even when things are rough, right, Hashem tries to do with chesed. Even when things are rough, right, it's only to bring us, he is avaksha tov lach. Like Rav Moshe David Vali said, he's sometimes an avkasha, but it's always for our benefit. Tov lach. Right? Even when things are tough, he's with us in the difficult times. And Hilu, right, as we suffer and tell him of our suffering, he's whispering in our ear and telling us that he's suffering along with us. And that gives us courage, that gives us what we call it. We don't feel cut off, we don't feel distant. Look, the Melech is telling me his problems.
That was in the beginning of the parsha.
Right.
I still don't understand what the Al Pi Hashem, the word of Hashem, that Hashem command Moshe to write it down?
To write down our travelings. So
the
travelings are what he called Al Pi Hashem. So let's hear. If the idea is, right, to tell us that even our travelings, even after we've been punished, Hashem is with us. He's the one who's still with us. Still Al Pi Hashem. So that's teaching us, right? That Hashem is with us, even in our difficult moments, even when we're being punished, He's with us. He's with us in our suffering. So therefore, the Chiddush is in the Al Pi Hashem in our travelings. If the Chiddush Al Pi Hashem is, they told Moshe to write it down, right? So that would seem to fit mostly with what the Sforno said, to remind us, what do you call it? I want you to write down and see, you behave properly. Right? You didn't rebel and say, what the heck is this going to be? What do you call it? Every day we're not sure if we're going to stay here or not. Right? And what's it going to be? The last place you were in was so great, and now we came to this place over here, and it's like, you know, nothing compared to the last place. There were times that they didn't report. They got fed up. But we're not talking about every day not being able to do it. They did it. So start credit. But certainly the idea of Ima Anochi Betzara, those that aspect, he's with us even in the midst of our difficulties, right? That speaks very much to teaching us that don't just think he was with us when he commanded us at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, I'm going to travel, I'm going to direct you, etc. And then we sinned, now the devil with you. No, even after we sin, right, he's still with us. He's still with us. So, different aspects of our connection to Hashem and his. You're right. You could fit all the Pirushim into the Ramban's Pirush. You could fit them all in, right? That he wanted to write it down. Why did he write it down? For what do you call it? To teach us all the lessons. But he had a question on Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra says that it's coming to teach us that our travelings were all Pi Hashem. Says Ramban, why did he teach us? We already knew it from the beginning of the Sefer. What I'm saying is that from the beginning of the Sefer, you know Hashem is with you, directing you, up to Hashem, every step you're taking. When things are good, things are rosy, you're listening to Hashem, you didn't botch the job, you're doing great, everything's hunky-dory. So fine, I know Hashem is with me. Now I messed up. And he gave me a punishment. So I feel like he's cut me loose, right? There's no anchor anymore. Comes the chiddush over here that even the travelings throughout the entire 38, 40 years they were in the desert, even though some of them, all of the 38 years were a result of an Aveira. So he's saying, he's not with me anymore. He left me. No. He's with us all the time. He's always with us. He's with us. He suffers with us. Kol b'yachol l'shchina. Suffers with us. So really, the Chiddush is really what he called the Ramban. Like I said, you could say any of the Pirushim in the Ramban. But the Ibn Ezra, why do you have to tell us again? You have to tell us again because when things are good, I know Hashem is with me. When things are no good because I botched the job, I say Hashem is not with me. Teretz is. No. It's even this parsha here from Maaseh that Hashem is with us even throughout 38 years of shopping around in the desert, which was a result of our sins. He's also with us. Like you said, it fits in with the parsha. The pasuk says, Kol Rodfeha Hisigua Beina Metzorim. Right? All of those who pursued her, Rodfeha, ran after the Jewish people. Hisigua, they caught up with her, Beina Metzorim. They caught up with her between the straits. So Chazal say it's going on, Beina Metzorim, this time period between Shabbos Matamos and Tisha B'Av is called Beina Metzorim, between the straits. The difficulties of Shabbos Matamos, 3 weeks, and the culmination on Tisha B'Av. The Magen Mezrich says, he says, Kol Rodef, one who runs after Yud-K, after Hashem, right? He sigua bein ha-mitzorim. He will catch up, right? He'll be able to catch the Melech during this time period. Because now there's the experience, the Jewish people's connection experience now is a time of Golus. It's very strong during this time period. But in Golus, it means the Melech is not in his castle, he's not in his palace. He's on the road. When he's on the road, all of us who are standing on the roadside, yeah, in the mud and the muck, we can see him passing by on the road. We can get a glimpse of him. We can run up to him and say, no, wait, don't leave. What, I have a request to make of you. When he's in the palace, how am I going to get there? It's hundreds of miles away. I have no way of conveyance. I can finish my work at home and get him. But when he's on the road, what he calls Jewish people in Golas, cold road face, he go up in him at Sarim. During this time period when the Melech is on the road, right, it's a unique time to be able to come close to him.